from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
And rolling and whatnot.
This is Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing.
We've got you covered.
Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We're still in here debating on Nicolas Cage's best movie, Bama Boy 92. He's a Falcons fan, by the way. He hits us up. That's his Twitter handle. We don't call it X. He says Face Off, Fellas was his best work. He said Travolta and him, they both play two characters.
They're playing each other. I still got to go. Like, I'm a huge fan of the Coen brothers. Raising Arizona makes me laugh out loud every time.
It's a good movie.
You know, he plays a convict who falls in love with a sheriff's deputy, and it's just John Goodman's in that one, too, as well. I go with that one, but Leaving Las Vegas, he won the Oscar for Leaving Las Vegas.
He did. And I just, maybe, you know what, at the time when that movie came out, I was skewed because I didn't see him playing that role. Like, he had come from all these action movies, right? And you're thinking, okay, he's not going to be able to pull this off. And then, you know, he does a tremendous job. So if you've never seen those movies, by the way, while we're talking about Nicolas Cage, because he's going to portray John Madden, which is why we were talking about this.
The other one, Andre hits us up, makes a great mention. It's called The Family Man. I think it was Tia Leone's in that. He plays like a rich Wall Street guy.
I like her.
And is that the one where, and this is basically what if he goes another direction and he's basically, he's thrown into like sort of like middle class lifestyle?
I've seen it. Yeah,
it's a good holiday movie.
Like a road, crossroads.
Right. Exactly.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good movie too. I've seen that one. You're right. All right, man, you can hit
sandwich
us up.
Sandwich between Leaving Las Vegas is Kiss of Death, The Rock, Con Air, and Face Off. So, like, in between all those action movies is the one movie he won the Oscar
That's
for.
That's what I'm saying.
No, Kiss of Death is the one. Remember, David Caruso tried to make a movie career after NYPD Blue?
He was terrible. He was terrible.
And it was before CSI Miami.
I mean, he made a lot of money with CSI, but still, he was terrible as a movie.
I mean, you talk about a ham bone. I know a couple guys that worked in the film industry in New York, and they say that David Caruso was insufferable.
I believe it.
You know? Remember the opening of the old show? It'd always be like, guy gets falls out a window, hooked on a fence. Looks like we've got a classic case of shish kebab. Yeah! And the show would start. It was like they have a corny opening.
The line would always be something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take the sunglasses off.
That show ran for a long time, though.
Well, you know me. Carl has heard me rant on this. CBS has got, they just literally just churn out the alphabet soup of the CSIs and the NCISs.
That's it. That's it right there. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But people watch it. My grandparents, everybody loves it.
NCIS. Right. Yeah, they've got tons of those. All right. While we're talking today, and if you're just joining us, our Falcons are the talk of the NFL, guys. After what went down yesterday, acquiring Justin Simmons, Falcons getting ready for their second preseason game against the Baltimore Ravens tomorrow. Our coverage begins at noon, or actually 10 o'clock, kicks at noon. But Mike and I have been talking about this all day, and we'll dive back into it. Brian McFadden agreed with us as he talked to us earlier on the show about what's happening around the NFL. And everybody's talking about, hey, they are for real. They got a quarterback.
Right.
They got a young stud core. They've got athletes. The defense has veterans. And now you add some more playmakers. This is the ingredients you need. Now, it's got to come together, all right? I mean, the coaching still has to be there, which we haven't yet seen on a Sunday, and all the things that matter, clock management. But we have to feel like all that stuff's going to take care of itself. But we're in the mix. We are in a better place than we were just a week ago. And so with all of that said, everybody's talking about, hey, man, you see what the Falcons are doing. We're going to get into it more in the Falcon Report. Coming up, Brett Boone's going to join us, Odyssey MLB Insider, and Steve Coonan a little bit later on this hour. Let's talk some dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
So where is Carson Beck ranked? Is he the best player in the country? Second best player in the country? Well, they think he's the seventh best player in college football. Now, remember, he put up over 3,900 yards, 24 touchdowns, six interceptions last year. And then you come into this season, people are already talking about Heisman. Mike, I think Carson Beck, and again, just because he touches the ball every play and he's going to be, you know, in charge of leading this offense, whether you rank him fifth, sixth, seventh, it doesn't matter. I think by the end of the season, he's going to be top three. I think he's going to be one of those guys that we're talking about at the end of the year where you feel like if he's not the best player in college football, he's one of the second or third best.
But, I mean, we know what Carson Beck is and what he's capable of, and, you know, certainly they got the skill position guys who can get there. I think the concern for me is to start the season against a really good physical defense. It's, you know, a lot of upperclassmen for Clemson, and you're moving guys around on this offensive line because of injury. Now, hopefully in the next 2 weeks that all gets straightened out, but we've heard Kirby give his updates on the injuries, and, you know, and I get it. You know, part of the things they do with multi-training so everybody can kind of slip into one spot or another, but Jared Wilson's supposed to be the center. Tate Ratledge is supposed to be the guard, you know, and there and the two should meet, and but we'll see. That's just one of my concerns about he only does his thing if the pocket is clean.
I agree. He was fourth in the nation last year in completion percentage, 72%. Excellent. I mean, guys, if you're over 65, you're doing something good. 72%, Mike, and then you talk about being ranked third nationally and first in the SEC with 3,900 yards. 3,941 was the number. So, you know, you're right. We know what he is. 6'2", 220 pounds. He is a guy that has, Kirby has said this, leadership has increased, right? He's been more vocal. But the point is, when you start talking about how far the dogs are going to go, Mike's right about the defense and all that, you know, that we're curious about whether they're going to be able to answer those questions. But I'm going into the season telling you guys, I think Carson Beck's one of the best players in the country, and I think he's better than being ranked as the seventh best.
Well, it's funny, a great article that Connor, our buddy Connor Riley, wrote in Dog Nation where Chaz Chambliss, who's the Jack linebacker for Georgia, was saying, he goes, hey, man, we want to focus on ourselves at this part. He was asked about getting ready for Clemson. He goes, we don't start preparing for Clemson really until the week of. He says, right now, we're going against the best offense in the nation.
He's right.
So to your point about Carson Beck and the weapons.
Yeah, I totally think that's true. And by the way, that makes the defense better. You know, when Georgia won those back-to-back national championships, their practices were harder than some of the games. I'm not going to say all of them, but most. And that was because of the players that were on the field, Mike, day in and day out. These are the cats you're going against every day. If I'm going against you and you're an NFL caliber center or linebacker or wide receiver, whatever it might be, and I've got to do that every day, that's only going to make me better. So I agree with him. I think that helps the defense prepare for some of the things they're going to see. I can't wait for this game, by the way. Just a side note, I had a guy that you know, went to Clemson, reached out to me, and he said, I heard you and Bell talking about this. He says, look, we're going to have a really good defense. But I think, you know, the main concern this year, and it has been, and he brought this up, Mike, and he said, Dabo's not been able to produce those explosive offensive teams that he had when they were winning national championships. And he said, if they don't do that this year, even as good as the defense is, they're not going to win as many games as we think. So, you know, what we're saying is you go back and look at those Clemson teams, whether it was Trevor Lawrence or Deshaun Watson, guys, those teams are scoring 50 a game easily, right? They're putting up points. Look at the last few years. And so he's saying, yeah, we can hang, but you still have to be able to score points. I thought it was an interesting point about Dabo and where they've been with the quarterback. Now, I think Klubnik is good. We'll see how good he is. But you still got to score points in these games, Mike.
Yeah, and it's just the Clemson offense. It just you're wondering. You know, we've said how many times have we discussed since Trevor Lawrence went to the NFL? It just has not been there. And DJU, by the way, we just mentioned that earlier with Brian McFadden. DJ Uiagalelei is on his third team. You and I were talking about this with BMAC because, you know, that's week zero. That's the first. There are other college games, but that's the big boy football
24th.
Game that week after the 24th. Last year, if you're looking at DJ Uiagalelei, 21 touchdowns, 7 picks, 57.1 completion percentage in the Pac-12.
Isn't that great?
For Oregon State. Now he's with FSU. Now, the key for that game specifically will be is Brent Key's defense taking a big leap. And certainly they've recruited. They've got the coaches.
Got to stop the run.
But got to stop the run.
Yes.
And then Haynes King, he's got to stop turning the ball over. Haynes King, if you didn't see it, for Tech fans who know, 27 touchdowns but 16 picks last year.
Yeah.
But again,
that's the area of concern.
Who, to me, you get the best quarterback, you win. Florida State has a great defense. Brad McFadden talked about it. A lot of guys, upperclassmen, some big studs, more transfer portal guys on the offensive side at skill position. But Tech did the same thing, too. Tech wasn't, not like Tech didn't bring some guys in, too.
Yeah. 24th, you've got a few games, to Mike's point. That game's at noon. The following weekend, the 31st, full schedule. I mean, it's great. I mean, like, we got games. And by the way, leading into that 31st weekend, there's Thursday night college football that week, Friday night college football.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Paul, then we get to Saturday the 31st leading into Labor Day weekend, and you guys know, from that point on, it's on. So we are close, guys. It's Dukes and Bell. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain. Real Estate. We're coming back. We'll talk with Brett Boone about what's going on with the Braves and the rest of MLB next.
Dukes and Bell, presented by Finley Roofing on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Let's talk to Brett Boone. He is our Odyssey MLB Insider. Insider calls presented by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Brett Boone, we have been, back and forth on this Braves team, and that's where I want to start because it feels like, we lost a game in Colorado last week, and it just felt like it was a gut punch, right? We had a 6-run lead. We blew it. You've been in games like that, Brett, where, you have a lead, and all of a sudden you don't know what the hell went wrong. And then
and then
we go, and, we get 2 amazing pitching performances, one from Chris Sale, Charlie Morton. And it just felt like, okay, hey, all of a sudden we're getting some life, and then you see Money Harris come back. How confident should we feel that this team can get to where we want them to be this season?
Yeah, I've been looking at the Braves, and as far as talking you off the bridge, I just did a Seattle show yesterday. You talk about these guys are going great. They just got swept, and it's like next week it might be all okay. I've said from the beginning, I think this Braves team is a playoff team. It has been from the get go. You know, I've been looking at the numbers from a year ago versus today. A year ago, you're leading in every offensive category. This year has been a different tone. You know, a year ago, Matt Olson hit 54 homers. Right now, he's got 21. It's a little bit different. A year ago, you had Acuna. You haven't had him. Albies has been on and off the IL. And you start off the season with your best pitcher, Spencer Strider, going down. That being said, the pitching's been better than it was a year ago. So it's kind of a trade-off. Nevertheless, I think this is a playoff team. They're playing in a tough division. I think the Phillies, for me, on paper, everything said and done, not a hot streak, not cold. I think the Phillies healthy are the best team in baseball. Just my opinion. But the Braves are in that division. But I still think they're a playoff team. It's good to see Harris come back. His first at bat, it's a grand slam, like a movie script for him. Riley seems to be coming on a little bit, and you're waiting for that hot push from Olson. Azuna's been an MVP candidate if he wasn't a DH all year long. And the pitching staff's been great. Sale coming over. I saw that deal and I thought, I don't know about Chris Sale. Do I trust him? I've watched him the last 3 or 4 years. Well, right now, I think if the voting were in, he'd be the Cy Young at this part of the season. So I think you got a lot of positive things going for you. And, you know, you're going to get Albies back. You just got to keep grinding out at this stage of the season. It's the dog days, and it's the race to the finish. And what you want to be when you get to the end of September is you want to have a seat at the table and you want to be healthy. And I think nowadays health is the most important thing, whereas in past years you didn't deal with the injuries like we do today. I feel as if injuries are at an all-time high, and the team that's healthy at the right time is usually the team that has success.
It is former All-Star Brett Boone with us, guys, on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Yeah, since the All-Star break, Brett, we're 4 games under 500, but we got more home runs than anybody else. We got 50 home runs, so that's starting to crank up. We're concerned about Max Fried, though. Here's a guy that's helped us win a World Series, and, you know, if we get into, like, you know, these dog days now in September, I'm not sure we can count on him just right now.
Well, time will tell. Right now, you're sitting in a wild card spot as we speak. Mets are... You're 2 out. San Francisco Giants are 3.5 out. San Francisco Giants got some good pitching. You guys just got out of there winning 3 out of 4. But they've got some good pitching with Snell and who is the Webb, Harrison, Robbie Ray. He kind of imploded against the Braves, and that led up to the Harris home run. I just think this team, top to bottom, and when you pitch as good as you pitch, I think they're going to be here. Lopez coming back soon.
Okay.
I think he's rehabbing, I believe, as we speak. I think when you pitch as good as this team pitches, with a lot of potential on the offensive side, let's be honest, they've underperformed. They haven't gone up to their, you know, expectations that everybody has for the Atlanta Braves and this team in the last 3 or 4 years. They haven't lived up to that this year. But that's baseball, and year to year, things are different. Guys have down years. Guys get hurt. So that's why on the offensive side. But I look at this pitching staff, and if they can just stay healthy, Lopez comes back, they stay healthy, I think they're the best team of the crop of teams I'm looking at. The Arizonas, the New York Mets, San Francisco Giants. I think Atlanta's just better than those teams, so I think they're going to have a seat at the table when it comes to a wild card. San Diego Padres team, different animal.
Right.
At the break, man, they made some big moves in that bullpen. I think they got the best bullpen in baseball. So the Padres might be a real force when it gets to the postseason as well.
Insider calls brought to you by Grainger. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers professional-grade supplies and solutions. Brett Boone joining us here on Dukes and Bell. All right, I'll tell you who's not having a down year. That's stinking Aaron Judge. 43 home runs. He leads the league in RBI. He's the MVP, right?
Absolutely. I don't even think as great as Juan Soto's been. I just watched they potentially walked Juan Soto to get to Judge. Yep. He hit a home run, but Soto had hit 4 home runs in his last 6 at-bats. As great of a year as Juan Soto's having, and he's a great player, top 3 in the game. I'd put Shohei Ohtani in that category as well. I think Aaron Judge right now, this particular time in his career, is just kind of a shoulders above everybody else. He's just that good. He's that big of a force. He's the only guy I know that's capable of hitting 60, maybe one day 70 home runs if he can stay healthy. He's just kind of in a league of his own right now.
Does your brother love him? I mean, is he a great guy to work for?
Well, how do you not love that? You know, I asked him. I said, you know, they're a good guy until they don't hit. He's like, you're damn right. I used to ask my dad this when he was managing. I said, so, Dad, you're telling me that player X, you don't like as a human being because he's hitting 220. And he looked at me dead in the eye. He said, absolutely. I can't stand him. I said, but player Y, let's throw his character out.
Yep.
He's hitting 310. You like him as a human being. He goes, absolutely. So that's where you got when it comes to managing. Yeah, it tends to go that way.
Hey, meanwhile, a guy that unfortunately is playing in Kansas City, so no one really sees him, but we see him on the All-Star game in the highlights, is Bobby Witt. That's one of the great stories in baseball this year.
He's a beast. He's a beast. One of those, that young crop of great players, and he's just coming into his own this year. And having an MVP season, people are talking about him as the MVP, and obviously the people in Kansas City are going to be saying, yeah, Witt over Judge, but I just don't think you can do it. Now, we've got 6 weeks to go. Anything could happen, an injury here and a hot streak from the other guy. Anything can happen down the stretch. But if all things equal, everybody stays healthy, they play it out the next 6 weeks, I don't think you can really compete with Aaron Judge. He's just too good. I mean, he's the closest thing I've seen to Bonds. And Bonds,
yeah,
to this day, no one's even close. There's Bonds and then there's everybody else. And Judge is, I think, the closest thing we're seeing to Bonds, where if you make a bad pitch, it's not going to be a base hit somewhere. It's ricocheting off a facade. You know, the rest of us, we get a good pitch to hit and we're in a hot zone. Man, we're going to square something up and hit something hard somewhere in the yard. Once in a while, it's a home run. But with Aaron Judge right now, if you miss, it's not a double, it's not a single, it's a homer. Singles are like a mistake for Aaron right now. It's pretty cool to watch. And that duo of Soto and Judge, I think they're kind of unmatched right now in Major League Baseball.
Brett, I'm so glad you said that, because I was a young guy covering Major League Baseball when Bonds was doing what he was doing at his best, at his height. And I would tell people he would get one pitch a night to hit, maybe. Because nobody was pitching to him. He was so damn good. And then that one pitch, he would take deep.
Right.
And it was so incredible to see.
I'll tell you what, if you've got time for a 30-second story, that's the coolest story I've ever told.
Yes, always, Brett.
Okay. Barry Bonds, by far the greatest player. I think if you asked anybody from my generation that played against him, it would be overwhelmingly Bonds is the best, by far. Anyway, Ray Boone. Played from 47 to 59. The proudest man I know, my grandfather, proudest man I know about his generation, and defending him to the hilt. He used to come to my games and he'd be like, yeah, who's it? Randy Johnson. I said, Gramps, Randy Johnson's pretty good. He's, he ain't no Bob Seltzer. You know how those old guys were. I say, Gramps, pretty good. I'd say, we talk about Bonds. Yeah, Ted Williams was the man. Bonds can't hit with Ted Williams back. Well, anyway, fast forward. Grandpa got sick, and he passed away in 2004. I went and visited him. I was playing in Seattle at the time. I got on a plane after a day game. I came down. He couldn't speak. All he could do was write on a chalkboard. That's how we communicated. The day before he passed away, and he wrote down this. He wrote, Brett, this Jake Peavy kid's going to be good. This one, Jake Peavy, was a rookie coming up. And Grandpa was a scout for the Boston Red Sox, and Peavy was in his section. He said, just Jake Peavy guy's going to be pretty good. And yes, Barry Bonds is a better player than Ted Williams.
Wow.
Soon as he wrote that down, I remember I teared up because I knew this man's going to die today, because there's no way in hell he's going to live to have to live this down and have this conversation.
Wow.
And the next day, Grandpa passed away. But he said that on his deathbed. I'll never forget it. So when anybody ever wants to argue with me about Barry Bonds, I said, if you knew Ray Boone and you knew how prideful he was about his generation and his guys, and I tell him that story, I said, it's over. It's over, Johnny. And that's one of my coolest stories and fond memories, even though it was in his last days of me and Gramps.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that.
That's awesome, man. And over Teddy ball game, which is, again, some would say that is sacrilegious.
For him to say anybody was better than Teddy,
right?
People don't understand. That just didn't happen until that day.
And Brett, you know, we talk about this all the time. I just, like, it is what it is. I just don't think he should pay for the sins of an entire generation, you know, of the steroid era. Because, as Carl likes to bring up, the guy saw maybe one or two good pitches an entire night.
No, he was tremendous.
You know what I don't like about it? And I think it's the opinions, that the uneducated opinions, and it's the bias of the people that talk about it that say, well, you know, Barry did it. They'll pick a player that they love, was a media darling. They'll say, he did it the right way. Well, how the hell do you know if you're covering it? You have no idea what he did. Your brain just wants him to have done it.
Right.
So these guys have no idea who did it, who didn't do it. And you either, I think you either need to take the approach of everybody did it or nobody did it. But the field was even. And he's just so much better than the next guy. And the fact that he's not in the Hall of Fame is
a shame.
Absurd to me.
He
was so good. So good.
I'm with you on this. Brett Boone, thank you so much. Odyssey MLB Insider. It's always good to talk with you. We'll see where this thing is here next time we get a chance to chop it up with you. As you know, now we're getting into September.
I'm coming to Atlanta. I'll be in Atlanta on the 22nd. We got the Braves alumni.
That's right.
So I'll be coming out. Maybe we can make it. I can stop by the studio.
Absolutely.
I don't know.
Man, yeah. All right.
That would be great. Hey,
got it.
Appreciate you, man. Have a great weekend.
You got it, guys. Thanks.
Brett Boone, sharing a great story there. And he comes from the baseball family.
Three generations, as you just heard. If you don't know the story, yeah, great stuff.
Yeah. All right, man. We got plenty more to get to. Steve Kuhn is going to join us, Hawks CEO. Why are our Hawks not at home playing on MLK? What did the NBA do?
And then things get really good.
Back to more Dukes and Bell, presented by Finley Roofing.
Let's go, baby! Let's go!
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Let's talk to Steve Kuhn, Hawks CEO. He's been off a few weeks, but he's back. And perfect timing, because the schedule came out yesterday for our Atlanta Hawks, around the NBA, by the way. We're coming off of Olympic gold, which was incredible. So we got a lot of to talk about with Steve. But Steve, we need to start with something that Mike and I were discussing. And I'm going to let Mike ask you this question, because he's been very passionate about it.
Well, Steve, obviously.
Oh, and I am salivating for this, because he could not be more wrong.
What did I just tell you? All right, you know what? Forget it then, Steve. Mike, you have no idea.
Let me start.
Homeland security concerns, the infrastructure. You cannot have basketball and a national championship in the same 24-hour period. Is that what you're going to tell
me? Not true. No, not even close to true.
Okay, lay it on me.
Okay. First of all, conspiracy, Mike. Good to talk to you. I've been over in Paris at the Olympics.
Nice.
There's nobody like you over there. Mimes everywhere.
I'll be on the new.
Second of all, did you know that on August 16th, 2022, the city of Atlanta announced the national championship for college football is coming? Literally 2 years ago today.
Right. 2 years. Yes.
Right.
Today. What an ironic coincidence that it dawned on Mike the other day that it would be very difficult. And here's why, Michael, and other listeners who are interested. Mm-hmm. We immediately talked to the NBA. And one of the problems that we would have staging a game on MLK Day is that all of our hotels, and rightfully so, have at least a three-night minimum. Mm. Basketball teams come in town for one night.
Okay.
And if you notice on our schedule, we're in Boston the Saturday night before because we moved our team out of town during that whole period. Second of all, Homeland Security could give a rip if we're playing and college football playing at the same time, but the city of Atlanta cares. And third of all, you can't start a game at noon because Martin Luther King services go past noon. And out of respect for the only team who's ever had a person's initial on their jersey, MLK, in 2021, and will and continue to work with the King family, we felt that this was a one-year anomaly that was best to let the city operate at a high level for the college football game, and that we would be back and we would continue to support, celebrate, and honor Dr. King.
And for those of you who are wondering, the question that Steve just answered, which you might have missed, was with the schedule coming out, traditionally, our Hawks have been at home on MLK Day, and we've hosted a game. It's a big right. deal for the NBA. It is a big deal for our city. And because of the national championship going on, which Steve mentioned, was announced 2 years ago, he's laying out the reasons why the Hawks will be on the road. Now, they will still be playing that day, right. but they are on the road, which has a lot of people saying, we don't even get an MLK Day game. And that was what the question right.
was. And that's why I was going off, did a little rant on TV and on Twitter about it. And Steve Koonin joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. All right, so let me throw this at you, Steve. What, you can't put an NBA team in a bunch of really nice mansions on VRBO? And secondly, you still to start the game
keep
at
talking.
2.
You're doing a better job than I did.
You've still got 5 hours to clear it out. We had the Olympics in this town. You can do multiple events in one day.
Nobody was talking about clearing it out. We had no clear-out problems.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The point was, it was what's best for the city.
Ah.
What was best for the travel. And we're a city partner. You know, and so could we have done it? Absolutely. Would it have been what was deserved for MLK, which, by the way, I think we hold by far the most incredible. It's one of our most important assets. But you can't always get what you want every year. And again, in deference to the city and our partnership with Mercedes-Benz next door, college football championship is a very big deal. And if you remember last time it was in Atlanta, it took hours to get into the stadium. It is a top security. And so
it did.
We've been working on it for 2 years.
Okay.
This wasn't like, oh, shoot, we forgot. Quite the opposite. And we talked to a lot of leadership and experts in the field. And obviously, we want to do the right thing. And the right thing this year, and this year only, was to defer to the bigger event.
Fair enough. All right. I'm glad you explained that.
Agree to disagree, Carl.
Because there will be people who are going to say, I don't understand.
Mike, when you get home, please take the tinfoil off your head.
Once again, Carl, is ruining the legacy of Martin Luther King Day here in Atlanta. What better way to bring a spotlight to it and the message than having the national championship the same day as we have the Hawks playing in those great jerseys. But I hear you, Steve.
Really our partner, or is that a conspiracy too?
And seriously, I'm glad you laid it all out. Now, let's move forward, because I want to hear about your Olympic experience. First of all, I don't know if you would have seen two grown men acting like kids in a studio
right.
watching the gold medal game than what we did that day, Steve. And we were literally, it was so hard to be on the air because we have the TVs on, obviously, for breaking news. But we're literally, Oren, Chris, we're all in here like, can you believe what's going on? That experience had to be incredible.
Well, candidly, and I don't want to correct your incredible memory, but don't you mean the semifinal
Correct.
Game? Because
Correct. Yes. The semifinal game where we were down
against
17.
Serbia. Against Serbia.
Yes.
Yeah.
Correct. Yes. That was on a Thursday. And I was fortunate enough to go to that game. And I was fortunate enough to sit right behind the Serbian bench where our dear friend and teammate,
Bogey.
Mr. Bogdanovic.
Yeah.
Played his heart out, and at the end was unfortunately crying his heart out. The passion that these players have for playing for country is amazing. But I'm going to break some news on this radio broadcast today. Steph Curry's really good at basketball.
Yes, he is.
Oh, my God. That was amazing. I mean, it was breathtaking. It was absolutely breathtaking. You kept looking at the scoreboard, you kept looking at the clock, and you kept saying, I don't know how this gets done. I don't know how this gets done. We got to get down by 8. We got to get down by 6. And it was 11. It was 12. And then all of a sudden, the dam broke, and then he just put it away. It was, I think, the most exciting, one of the most exciting basketball. The Hawks games in, you know, game 7 against Philly in 21 and Trey in the Garden personally. But many people have called that one of the best games in basketball history. It was amazing. And I was very fortunate to be able to be there.
What's it going to take to get Trey on one of those teams in 2028 in Los Angeles?
I think, you know, that Trey continues to play at a high level. He'll certainly be, you know, in the mix as one of the 12. And hopefully Jalen Johnson and, you know, Zachary Richaché for France. And, you know, we have multiple representation. But it was amazing. But you could see the OGs were the dominant. You look at LeBron, Durant, and Curry, the youngest being 36, they brought it home.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily a young guy's game, as Tyrese Halliburton barely made the court.
True enough. And here's the thing that we learned, too. We're talking with Steve Koonin, Guys Hawks CEO. We'll have plenty of time to break the schedule down and talk about all the things leading into training camp in the season. But coming off the Olympics and he was there, it's just, you know, it was an incredible experience. But the other thing is, you know, we talked a little bit about this as well when you talk about those old guys bringing it home. You know, everybody's talking about Steve Kerr's rotations. I don't know. Was that a big deal there, or was that just us here in America talking about it? Because everybody's talking about
Jason Tatum.
Yeah, the Tatum situation.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't hear it mentioned candidly. I would obviously read everything, you know, from France, from Paris.
Yeah.
But this is all about winning. It's not about player feelings, you know. This is about winning, and you got to give Steve Kerr credit. You can't take 12 Hall of Fame players and think everybody's going to be happy. So Steve Kerr and Golden State will go into Boston. They'll boo the hell out of him, and he won the gold medal.
It's true. They will.
Yeah,
they will.
You know, I mean, our own Grant Hill, one of our owners, was the – I'll use the NBA parlance. He was the general manager who put this team together, who recruited the players, who convinced Embiid to play. And to see the relief on his face was just amazing. And, I mean, he was gone more than 45 nights in a row. And Steve Kerr and Grant Hill, you know how much they get paid to do this?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Do you know how many medals they get? None.
The coach didn't get a medal?
Nope.
That's not right. Well, rant on that.
I like how you said that. The coach don't get a medal?
That's job. No, I mean, like doing this job, whether it's soccer or, you know, you name it, it's thankless work. I mean, we get that. I just, you know, I just wonder, you know, sometimes if it discourages other NBA players who want to participate when they see how Tatum was treated.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think at a certain level they understand the game. And what's necessarily needed. So I thought it was a masterclass in coaching. I thought it was a masterclass in managing and working with talent. And I think the world continues to catch up with U.S., and we better be bringing our best athletes to play as a team. Because let's be honest, Serbia's talent, you know,
France.
I'm not sure there's more than one Hall of Famer on that roster.
Right.
You know, I mean, love Bogey, but you can't compare. He wouldn't be the 12th guy on that on the USA team. So I think you really have to give credit to how that's managed rather than who's on that court. Because you kept looking at the Serbian team and going, oh, yeah, well, these guys will fold. You know what it reminded me of? A 15-2 in March Madness.
Right. Good pull. That's a good analogy.
Last thing for you, Steve. What was the best thing that you did over there? Is it a dinner? Was it an event that you went to that you got a chance to meet somebody? I mean, hell, you know everybody, but what'd you do? What stood out if you had to share it?
By far the basketball game, but the venues were so stunning. Mm. Going to see beach volleyball, Qatar beat the crap out of the U.S. in volleyball, but to do it in the shadow of the Eiffel Tower.
Mm. Pretty cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, it was amazing. And then we got to see Simone Biles' last two events and see the outrageous injustice happening on the bronze medal. That was incredible. But I will tell you, Paris did an amazing job. There's a rhythm to the Olympics. Everything leading up is negative, and once it starts, I think people were just blown away by the beauty of the venues, and the competition was amazing. And big props to our friends at NBC and Mark Lazarus for the great job that they did.
No, it was dramatic. Carl and I, you know, I rarely catch Olympic fever, but this year I probably watched more than I ever had, you know, because you're right. It was the spectacle of it really drew me in.
And L.A. ought to be unbelievable.
Oh, it is. It is. I agree. Steve, we got to run, man. Thank you so much. Glad you're back and glad you had a good time. If you missed it, he explained, Hawks fans, why the decision was made.
I guess.
For Hawks to not be at home
on
MLK Day for the first time. And he said it. This year.
By the way, it's not the first time.
It's not?
No, it happened 7 years ago also. But not because of a conflict, because of a scheduling. that's why my antenna is so high on this.
Okay.
There was a scheduling piece that was unequivocally wrong. But like I said, for 2 years to the day, we've been working on this. And we want our city to shine. The whole country's attention are going to be on the national championship.
Yeah.
And so despite Mike's conspiracy, we'll have to come up with another one, Mike. And I'm sure you will.
All right. It's not a conspiracy. You can find a hotel room for 15 guys and a basketball. All right, but I hear you. I got it. Message received.
Steve, have a good weekend. Thank you so much.
All right, guys. Look forward to next week.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right.
By the way, I don't want to say, I don't want to be sexist pig in front of Steve, but I mean, I caught Olympic fever and I caught booty fever. That was amazing.
You said that it doesn't make you a sexist pig that these women were attractive.
Yes.
Booty sweat.
Yeah, it just doesn't. All right. Coming up, we'll talk to Grant. We'll see what's going on with our Braves. But before we get to that, we are the talk. And you need to accept it. It's Dukes and Bell.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.